Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Truths and Ladders podcast. I am your host, DJ Swirl, and this is episode 4, Consistency. If this is your first time joining us, let me first say thank you. And secondly, kindly ask that you take some time in the near future to catch up on prior episodes. Not only does it keep you up to speed on things we reference, but it helps establish a tone for this and future episodes. I am joined once again by my girl, E. DeVille, to discuss Cardi B, the new iPhones, Samsung's comeback, hearsay, kneeling, lists, fight or flight syndrome, and why nachos may be our secret weapon in race relations. But first, I give E an opportunity to provide a rebuttal against the previous discussion on women drivers. If you're listening to this before episode 1, go back to around the 22 and a half minute mark before proceeding. I promise it will make more sense to the convo that follows, as well as establishing why, as much as you may disagree with something, you yourself are not always the best example to support your own argument. You complained about an episode that Danny brought up, and he was talking about bad female drivers. But I don't think the aim was to help your argument, and you
I helped his argument.
So let's go ahead and jump right in, and let me know what your rebuttal was for his very sexist comments.
It was very sexist, Danny.
No, we laughed about it. Like,
we did laugh about it, but funny. I was like, man, I wish a female was there at the present time to hear her muddle. Preferably not myself, because I am a horrible driver. Like, one time I got pulled over and they're like, ma'am, you were swerving. And I said, I know, I'm a really horrible sober driver. And the cop laughed and I got lit.
That's the worst thing you've ever
said. Well, the cop, I mean, it benefited me because the cop laughed and I got let go. So, whatever.
No, friend, I've ridden with you several times, and not one of them have I felt safe in your vehicle. Whether that's seatbelt, whether that's low speed, whether I know exactly where we're going.
Well, let me ask you this.
It's always bad.
But did you die?
Did I die? I'm here talking.
Exactly.
So.
Okay.
But again, it's like a roller coaster with you, with like a loose, like you get on a seatbelt or a roller coaster and the belt's like not snug.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like riding in a car with you.
Thanks.
Even though it's on a fixed track.
Thanks.
You're like, fuck, man. Anytime. Final destination. Bam. And I'm like, fuck. Here lies Ryan. Died in the passenger seat of Erica's car. Normally down the road.
Again, horrible, sorrible, sober.
Okay, so
driver.
You would have rather been here so you could give your opinion, but had a better female driver that you could reference.
Yes.
Which is,
I don't know,
a unique argument to bring to a debate. So, I will just tell you this.
I never said that my arguments were going to benefit me. I'm just saying.
So,
I would have loved to have a female here at that particular time when Danny was just so passionate about how female drivers were the worst.
They are bad.
I didn't say that, you know, it didn't pertain to my life because I'm not a good driver.
So,
just saying.
I think that men are bad drivers as well, just in their own way. Like, it's a very macho thing with men. It's like always some asshole on their bike zooming by you or weaving in and out of traffic. It's always some guy in a real big vehicle, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's some asshole who you just had to cut off to get in the lane or whatever, and they take it personally. Now you might fight them. Like, that shit doesn't happen with women. Women are, like, distracted, or they've got a lot of different things that they can occupy their time.
I think it results back to when we were little and my mom was, like, the worst. Like, she had really bad road rage. Someone cut her off, and there was this time we had got out of church.
Oh, my.
And this guy had cut her off, and she followed him, like, I'm going to whoop your butt, honking at him. Like,
who was in the car with you?
It was me. It was myself, my mother, and I believe my older brother.
Either way, kids.
Either way.
Ages?
So we were younger. Like, for sure, like, I want to say, like, elementary, junior high school. Probably more junior high school, but still, like, yeah. And that's not the first time. I remember there's another time we were younger. We were, like, little kids, like, for sure, like, in the ages between, like, 7 and 9. And she pretty much did the exact same thing. And my dad happened to be following her home.
Ooh.
And we were coming back from somewhere. And he was getting mad at her because she had us in the car. And she was like, you know, trying to pretty much beat up the guy that cut her off. So my dad's like, what's wrong with you? My kids are in the car.
That's, I don't know too many women that have that kind of.
I am the worst. I have really bad road rage. I hate traffic with a passion. Like,
I mean, traffic isn't a thing that anybody likes.
No, it's really bad.
So I'm not a giant fan of riding in the passenger seat when my wife drives. Like, she knows this. This isn't. See, it cracks me up. Also, there's a funny part of it too, because it's like when you see a woman or a girl driving, and it's clearly her boyfriend or her significant other, and you can just look in by seeing them, you can tell that he's like not a deadbeat, but he's not motivating her.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I feel like I have that little thing in my mind to where somebody sees me and she's driving, then I'm just like, I'm getting chauffeured around by my wife.
Right.
Right? So I think of like the chick driving her dude. For some reason, he's in a wife beater or an A shirt, whatever that's called. Like, I feel
beater.
Like he's in that. There's probably a kid in the back. Like, I have that mental image in my mind. So, and then when she doesn't, like, drive efficiently or, like, the way I do, I'm just kind of, like, inside, I'm just kind of, like, I try not to pay attention because it upsets me. And I don't want that to dictate our conversation to wherever we're going. I don't hold it against her. I just know that's her driving style and it's not mine. So I feel way more confident behind the wheel. And then when I get in the car with your ass, that's how I feel with Colleen times fucking 50. It's like,
well,
but I'm digging into like the O'Shea bar, holding on to that, like, God damn it, friend.
Well, you know, the title of this is called Consistency. At least I'm consistent with my driving.
You are.
Hey. You know what's funny though?
Very
is
good.
That I'm so horrible and Joe's now used to it too. Like, sometimes when we go places, I rather drive just because, like, I hate how he drives too. But he's very more in control. He's very, like, you know, he's not a crazy driver. He's a really good driver. But
yeah.
I hate it. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, why are you going the speed limit? Like, you know, like, I hate that. So there's times where I'm driving. I'm all over the place. I'm, like, not looking at the road. I'm probably on my phone. I'm looking over, you know, outside the window. And he'll, like, reach over and just, like, steer for me because I'm not paying attention. And I'll let go of the steering wheel and he'll steer for me. I'll finish the text that I was doing. And they're like, okay, cool. And I'll grab the steering wheel and back. So it's like, he knows how I drive. And apparently he's not scared.
You have a human Tesla.
Yes.
You've got hands-free driving in your
and then when
Tesla
he's
vehicle.
Driving, I'm like, really? You're
That's
going
so
slow.
Funny.
And he does this thing where, like, if you don't like how he's driving, all you hear is the doors unlock.
No.
Yes.
What? Wait, hold on.
And I'll
on.
Be like, what?
So he'll hit the door lock?
Yeah, like, that's his like way of showing you, like, you don't like it, get out. Like, he will say no words.
That's amazing.
He's
so
done
what's
that
the frequency?
To me.
Is it just once, or does he, like, keep
he just,
doing it?
No, he just does it the one time.
Does he, like, look at you?
Yeah, it's like he'll do, like, the side look.
Give you the side eye?
Yeah. But he hasn't only done it to me. He's done it to, like, a few of my cousins, and it's hilarious.
Now, see, as much as Joe talks well of me, I feel like I need to hang out with him more because the more stories you tell about him, like, it's...
It's funny.
If you were a chick, who's the one guy you would sleep with?
John Stamos.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Do you want to go do karate in the garage?
Yep.
Consistency is the name of this episode. The consistency on the radio charts, on the pop charts, on the top 100, whatever the Shazam chart is, whatever, Billboard Hot 100, it's been consistently what, in your opinion? What has been the kind of music that has been at the top or near the top?
It's just, I think I would call it like a fad music,
okay,
to be honest. Because, like, I'm old school, like 90s, early 2000s, R&B. You know, I love new soul, stuff like that. But
right.
I feel it's more like, I just see a lot of, like, this reality, like Cardi B. She's a reality TV star. And then she made a name for herself
in
the music industry.
I have no idea
shocking.
I don't know who she is apart from what I've seen now. and
she's on like
is she like a housewife or Real Housewife of Atlanta or something like that?
I think she's on Love and Hip Hop.
Okay,
that TV show.
Got you.
I'm not real familiar. I don't really watch it.
What's
her
background? What was her profession on the show? Besides being a quote unquote reality TV star or actress,
I don't even know. We'd have to like Google her.
I feel like by the lyrics that I've heard in Bodak Yellow that it had something to do with exotic dancing.
And people like that song. And I'm not knocking her. Good for you getting a song out there. But like, it's just, I just have a hard time supporting that. I just have such a hard time.
I mean, I thought when we were going to discuss this that I would disagree with you, but I am wholeheartedly agreeing with you in this.
Really?
It.
Yeah, I can't.
So look.
It is like, it's trash. It's garbage music. It's not like it used to be.
So look, it is a very specific kind of music.
Yes.
And I love that specific genre, that kind of music. Unfortunately, it has been sold as a product as opposed to, so like we were just talking about the image, why you like The Voice over other singing competitions. It's based on the product.
Right.
The product in this kind of music now is the image more than it is the music.
I agree.
More than it is the content. That's why it is where it is. And that's what's been consistently from Soulja Boy, all that shit going. I mean, we can look at charts and go way back. Mm-hmm. But it's like with her, whether she's, like, I look at her like, who's the other chick? Like, Black China.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She's working on an album now, too, right?
Yeah.
So, she's a stripper. I feel like that's that same lane.
Yeah.
So, first of all, she's a stripper. If that's the case, or she's in that realm, I don't want to hear a fucking word she has to say. Like, when it comes attached to music. Like, I'm sure she's got, she has interesting insight, whether that's in ratchetness or if that's in, you know, just whatever. Like, I feel like she's got something to say and it carries weight, but not on fucking radio when kids are getting out of school.
Young people do listen to the radio a whole lot, and this is their, in a way, these are their role models. You know what I mean? They're on TV, they're on billboards, they're on the radio.
Yeah.
Period. You know what I mean? They're on social media. Across the board, they're on pretty much everything. And these are what younger people are listening to and thinking, like, dang. And honestly, the other day, or 2 weeks ago, my younger cousin, she was just like, all I need to do is just make up a dance to a song and it can go viral.
Yep.
What?
And
that's where Soulja Boy, he did Superman, Cat Daddy, you know, things like the Dougie. They mm-hmm. all made dances to a song and it went viral.
So I did this post.
It doesn't matter how grimy your beats or lyrics are. If your whole song fits on this, try harder. Fisher-Price Beats, and it's an xylophone.
Yeah, it's a Fisher-Price 6-colored xylophone. And you can play most of the music. So her song, I guarantee you I could figure out the melody and stay on this for most of the song.
That's horrible.
It is god-awful. And that kind of music is great when you're drunk in a club.
Right.
When it's 21 and up, when you're out to celebrate or to get over something or whatever, it's a release. There's an energy. There's an aggressiveness. There's all these things involved to it. And it gets so watered down the more it gets played. That's why stuff gets played out so soon. That's why you hear young people say old school and they'll talk about like juvenile. And it'll be like, that was
right.
10 years ago, man. That's not old school. It's like at least 30 years. Like all the 80s stuff
mm-hmm.
is considered retro now or whatever. So that, mm-hmm. so you know, it's trendy again. Like at least let it stay that. Like I'm hearing songs get sampled that I grew up to. And
yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. We're not old enough for you to get that pass. And you're not young enough to not know what the fuck that was.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I get when people do it, it's like an homage or it's like, you know, and I want to educate people as much as possible on older music and why it sounds so similar because
right.
it's all sampled. And that's a whole nother story. But then you downgrade the lyrical content.
Yeah.
And just the like the plot of the actual song or what they're talking about. And you just, I don't fuck with you.
Right.
And it's about the marketability. And she's decked out. So she's got, what, surgery or whatever.
The whole nine.
She's upgraded.
Yeah.
So,
but one thing I can say about Cardi B is she doesn't hide that.
No.
Like, she straight out says, like,
the thing.
Yeah, I got my teeth fixed. So what? Like, right. I can commend her for that, but that's it. Because you know, a lot of these reality stars or even models or whatever. Oh, no, I never had surgery.
Right.
You know what? Obviously, you did. Your lips are bigger than it was a week ago. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, at least I can commend her for just being real in that aspect. When it comes to her music, I can't support it. I just don't.
Yeah.
Her song, Bodak Yellow?
Yeah.
I heard it one time, and I didn't even listen to it all the way through. I was like, really? No.
I mean, I'm a DJ, and it's the number one song in the country. So,
man.
I gotta play it. And I played it last week, and I can't remember the song that I played before it. But it was like, oh, I played Loyalty. Loyalty, you know, with Rihanna.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had that groovy just, and then I, you know, dung, 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 and they went nuts. And then, da-dum, ba-da-boo. And so all these girls were all, you sent me that video.
Yeah, I know.
This chick, I'm going to put the details in after this somehow, but this chick is going hard in the paint.
Hard.
On her, and you assume it's her boyfriend. It's someone
it has
that
to
she
be.
Knows, hopefully.
It has to be.
Because she's in this dude's face, just ba-dum, ba-dum, just super aggressive.
Grabbing his face.
Yeah,
like,
pushing his face with her fingers.
Yep, and then taking his drink from him.
Yeah.
Like, she is like.
She's in his business.
She's in there.
She's in his bubble, for real. Like, violation.
Mm. Even when I was, I'm like, dang.
Yeah. But so that's that energy. That's that rawness. And
yeah.
Guess where they're at? They're at a club.
They're
that's
at a club.
Where that belongs.
Yeah, I agree.
And the more it gets marginalized and spread out, and you have fucking suburbia doing it, that's why all these fucking
mm-hmm.
moves and dabbing and all that stuff, that's why it gets played out so fast now, is because all those things, when we were young, it was so isolated still because there was no social media. There was no – it wasn't mainstream yet, all that stuff. So we had that luxury. But
that just takes it back to the power of social media.
Yeah. So,
and obviously the different era we live
in. You can't blame the technology. You have to blame the culture.
Yeah.
So I think the reason why so many people support Cardi B is she's consistent.
Yeah.
She is authentic. It's not someone you want to take home to mom necessarily, but it's like she's real as fuck. And so you know that she's going to stay. She's in a lane and she owns it.
Right.
And in a day and age where it's so easy for people to flip flop
mm-hmm.
when the fucking president is all over the place on obvious shit. He can't even be who he is because he's not original. He's not a politician, first of all. That's
nope.
what his selling point was. But it's like.
But like, I feel like he cares about the most pettiest things
yeah.
ever.
So he's the most inauthentic person.
Right.
So when you see a Cardi B and you don't necessarily agree with the content of her product.
But you have to respect
But you can ride for her. And so it's like, there was a thing I saw, and it was like, Lauryn Hill and her are now the only two females to ever have a rap song be number one.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of Lauryn.
Right. So when you look at a Lauryn Hill and then you look at her, what do?
Yeah, it's sad.
You chuckle.
Yeah, because
looking in Cardi B's
Lauryn
direction.
Lauryn Hill, her lyrics, like, excuse me, those were her, like, her music defines her. Everything
yeah.
she went to, she put it all back into her music. And you felt her emotions. You felt what she was going through. You felt it all. Where Cardi B, she's just...
I guarantee you there are people, there are young women, girls, whatever, impressionable teenagers who are going to talk about Cardi B the same way you are right now about
Lauryn Hill.
How does that make you feel?
That's disappointing. That is so disappointing.
But that is where we are right now.
It is.
There are girls that are going to be, I don't give a fuck what people say about me, because she's got the confidence and she owns who she is. So the way that Lauryn hits your soul with those notes and
right.
those lyrics, that's what the marginalization, that's where it's gone to. So in my eyes, I agree with you. I see Cardi B at the top and I see her all over the place. I'm just like, it's ignorance.
It is.
Like, or it's not ignorant. I'm sorry.
No,
because it's on purpose.
You're right. She is doing it on purpose. But I just feel like as the consumer, we're so ignorant to those things. We are. I'm like, and it. Now that I know that she's on the same level as Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. So now she has the accolade.
Irritated.
So you can't really. So the more you hate on her now, it's like, look at this meme. Bam. Meme. Boom.
Yeah.
And then you what? Where's your rebuttal? It's like, yeah. But if you played fucking Lauryn Hill and you played Cardi B, you're hitting stop on Cardi B way sooner than you are
absolutely.
On Lauryn Hill. So and that's
Lauryn's my girl.
And Lauryn's only had what one? Her album. Like, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill
uh-huh.
was, like, it.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you ask a young person now about Lauryn Hill, they can't tell you much.
No, they can't. Like, yeah, Lauryn Hill went off the deep end there for a little bit, but, like, I don't care. Like, yeah. That, she, her yeah. music, like, just defeats everything else that she's ever gone through.
Right.
Because I feel that's what music should do for you. I feel like that's someone's medicine. Mm-hmm. And I'm wholehearted because there are plenty of times where, like, I do turn to music, certain songs in specific. Like, Andre Day, I love that chick.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because of that type of genre of music that I'm just really more interested in. Like, they are passionate about their lyrics. They are, you can, for me, it's more you can feel all their emotion, their hurt, their pain, their happiness, their excitement right. through their music. And I put her, I put Andre Day in the same category as Lauryn Hill, Any Day with Adele.
Yeah.
Even Erykah Badu. Like, she's one of my favorites, too. Like, I don't know. That's just what I love. Music gets me through a lot of stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's someone's, I guess, remedy for their happiness or to get them through some hard times.
Yeah.
So, but when I hear, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love a good turn up music all mm-hmm. day, yeah. especially the one we get turned up to.
Tell me when to go.
Yes.
We do get loose to that song every time.
Every single time.
Every time it comes on. So apart from it watering down the product itself, being a new father and seeing how much of a sponge kids are and yeah. they just that so that behavior, that language, so it dumbs down so much for our kids. So it's not surprising it is where it is because it's gonna keep going down.
Well, how many videos do you come across that are like little kids shaking their butt?
Little kids shaking girls. Their butt, or there's little boys and girls, and yeah. they're saying it word for word, and it's all vulgar as fuck.
Yeah.
It's like, sure, they don't know what they're saying. They don't understand
they
the
don't,
context.
But
that's a seed
now,
planted.
No, I'm not a parent, but, like, if I have a child, like, I'm sorry. Like, that's not a proud moment for me.
No,
you know what I mean?
Not at all.
That's not going to be a proud moment for me.
And they're filming it, and it's got 3 million likes.
Yeah.
And you're like, so it's people are enabling that behavior. Yeah. Enabling the behavior. So the flip side of that, so how you get so confused about Trump and his supporters, why you don't understand it, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's that level of, if it's just downgraded thinking, it's like dumbing shit down to a point to where.
When do you feel like music started going downhill?
But that's generational. So you can ask the people in the 50s, they'll say in the 70s. So it's like, you know, it also depends on what age you are.
Yeah.
So people that are 15 years younger than us aren't going to say that.
That's true.
But you have.
I never thought of it that way.
But music has gotten so much easier to make because technology is so great. So, just like all of the high production music and stuff, it was difficult to come by because they had to be in a $1 million studio in order for that to happen.
Right.
Now you can be in here and we can make a track and it can be Cardi fucking B.
Right.
Have you seen that video of that real young kid in like it was like Nigeria's Got Talent or something like that, and he's DJing.
No.
And he's like going back and forth. I got that video sent to me by like 9 different people and they're like, ooh, like, again, technology has gotten so great
yeah.
that a fucking 4-year-old can go and look as good as
Don't
Paris.
They, have, like,
they can be as good as Paris Hilton is right now.
Stop it.
No, Paris Hilton makes 6 figures a show in Ibiza. She is doing work over there. She's responsible for more income now being a quote-unquote DJ than she was being a blissfully dumb heiress
yeah.
on TV. Like, she's actually, I commend her for her hustle, but fuck her in the face, DJ-wise. Anyway, so this little kid is up there and he's scratching and doing like going back and forth and he's turning knobs and they're like, the judges are like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. He's not doing a fucking thing. And he's 4, so it's cute, it's adorable. High five to that young man. The new iPhone 8 just got released.
For like $1,000?
I think people. Nuts. I think people are getting them now. Like the 8 is, the X I think is, they're on a wait list for. Anyway, either way, there's a new phone coming out. There are three new phones, the 8, 8S, and X, which is supposed to be the whole shebang.
Is that $2,000 or?
That one, I think, is the one that starts at $999.
Jeez,
so,
man.
Yeah. But, I mean, these are like $750.
I know.
So it's not a big jump. It really isn't. But the wireless charging and no home button and all that, I am probably buying an X soon. I'll just say that.
Oh, wow.
Probably buying an X soon. I'm not getting it as soon as it comes out.
I can't bring myself to pay that much money for
that. And look, did you buy it straight up?
I own this one right here.
That's what I did with this. I bought it straight up, and AT&T does not like me and my plan. Like, the people in my plan, like, they cut. Once I hit 16 gigs, like, boom, it's like flip phone status. It's terrible operation-wise. So, yeah, that's why I download all my music on my phone, and then I use, like, 8-10 gigs a month. I was averaging 24 gigs a month.
Are you serious?
Of data. With all the downstream, with all the streaming, with all the podcasts listening to, with all the my shows, like, all that stuff just added up. But now I make sure I download shows and whatever I want on my phone.
You know why? Because my boss is like, did you log on to Wi-Fi? Don't use your data.
No, that's smart. That's an awesome job.
She's my reminder.
Yeah, that's great. I wish they had that at work, because,
But I also work in a hotel, so.
Yeah, we work in cubes, so. They don't encourage phone use. So having Wi-Fi there is detrimental to their cause. So that new phone's coming out. I'm not buying it right when it comes out. I want them to get through the bugs and all the bullshit at first, and I'll buy it probably summer of next year. But I'm for sure getting one. The X, not the 8. I'm going to fuck the 8. It doesn't have all the features the X does. Like, and wireless charging is available on the phone, but the wireless charging system isn't available until next year.
That's stupid.
Yes. So you have to plug your phone in and you have a fucking... So you might be able to use it on a Samsung. And I'm sure, I can guarantee you they're going to be knockoffs from China or somewhere. Apple's products, they always come out late. Their technology is always further behind. So like wireless charging has been available for 2 or 3, 4 years for Samsung. The NTC, so the scan and pay for stuff, like that's been Samsung first. But no iPhone blows up in people's pockets. Samsung whatever just did. So the newest Samsung to replace that one is coming out, or it came out, and so they have a ridiculous rebate for the people who own those phones. I don't know if it's a straight up, here's the new phone, or what, but it should be, because people had literally had shit blowing up on them.
Oh my goodness.
And they had to tell, you remember that?
Yeah.
And they told everybody, get rid of your phones, send them back in, send them back to us, don't turn your phone on. I remember being on a flight when it was at its height. I didn't mean to rhyme. I'm stopping talking right now for a second. I don't rhyme again. I hate when I do that. But yeah, I was on a flight somewhere, and they specifically said, if you have a Samsung, turn it off now. Like,
oh my goodness.
Not put it in airplane mode. Turn that motherfucker off, because don't charge it. Like, they were blowing up. So this new Samsung is coming out. So they basically get a replacement, right?
Right.
iPhone has never done that. They've never had a widespread problem. So I'll fuck with...
iPhone. I'm an iPhone user. I'm an iPhone fan.
But you went away for a while, didn't you?
There was one time that I had went to Android, and I was like, why did I do that?
Grass ain't always greener.
It sure isn't.
It's not.
And guess what? I'm back to team iPhone, so I love iPhone.
So that's why I've only had 3 iPhones.
My boss actually just went from Android to iPhone, and she hates the iPhone. But no,
there's a learning curve.
And I told her, I was like, you have to give it time. It's better. I promise you, it's so much better than Android. But I don't know. She just got her new. I think she got a 7. I think.
So, hypothetical, if you had a Samsung phone that blew up, the new iPhone X is there, and let's say Samsung gives you money either way.
Mm-hmm.
You have the option. Episode 4, consistency. Do you stick with Samsung?
Hell no, it blew up in my pocket. What you mean? Bro, you burnt my leg off. Right. I'm not.
Okay, so they're good. So basically they're taking care of you now. That's not enough of a
no.
No, okay.
Heck no, like.
So that money is going to Apple.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. You know what's funny is, like, of course I know, like, you know, the phone's blowing up and stuff, but when you're telling me, I'm acting like this is the first time I've ever heard it. Like, you can see it on my face, like, dang, what?
That's why I asked you, did you hear this? Because you're looking at me like it's story time, like I'm giving you new information.
I know, but that's how I felt.
Am I that captivating? Is that what you're trying to say, friend?
It's your eyes.
Oh, yes. Very good. Very good.
We ain't friends, Samsung.
There's a grip of Samsung parts in an iPhone anyway, so it's like, I'll use the parts that work in my iPhone and say, move forward.
And there's now a lawsuit over an exploding smartphone. The Florida man claims he suffered second-degree burns when his Samsung Galaxy Note 7 ignited in his pocket. The man says hours after the accident, he received an email from Samsung warning of the phone's battery problem.
Hey, let's talk about the Pope.
fuck.
And heresy. Belief or opinion contrary to orthodox religious, especially Christian, doctrine.
Read that right below it. What does that say?
Huss was burned for heresy.
That reminds me of witches. Witches got burned at the stake.
Yeah.
For being weird, basically.
Yeah.
And so whoever Huss was got, it's lit.
It's lit.
They lit his ass on fire for heresy.
Or her.
So that's polarizing, polar opposite beliefs to a doctrine, to religion, to the Bible. The Pope has been very progressive when it comes to LGBTQA plus, whatever it is at this point.
LGBTQA plus?
Yeah, there's extras. There was an award show that someone said it, and I was like, oh, there's extra. I got to learn that, I guess. So, but anyway, when it comes to divorce, in Catholicism, having grown up in the Catholic Church, divorce was a no-no. Sex before marriage, no-no. But then they have this thing, this box you can go sit in. And in this box is a stranger. At the age I was in this program, when I was in this denomination, this stranger was our...
This sounds so horrible.
He was our leader. No, I want it to sound like it does in my mind because it's not just very... It's not...
This sounds so bad.
On top of all of the little boy fucking...
Right, I feel like that's where this is going.
I want people to understand why it's not a surprise.
I wish you guys could have seen his face right when he said that.
So anyway, you can go in and you can repent. You can tell your... You can snitch on yourself...
All day long.
You say whatever, some Hail Marys, you do some good deeds and you hit the reset button. You're good to go. So fuckery on Saturday.
Repent on Sunday.
But for some reason, divorce, no adultery.
Right.
Which, in the eyes of conservative Catholics, adultery is the same thing as getting divorced and remarried. So they're accusing the Pope of heresy because... He says he wants to encourage people who have been divorced and remarried to stay with the church. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want that to be an end-all, be-all. The conservatives, end-all, be-all.
Right.
Religion has a tough time as it is.
I feel like a lot of religion is that way, end-all, be-all.
Which I think is why it's becoming less and less popular.
Which is sad. I mean, church.
On top of science, but when you believe in a book... written by men, you're going to have that hypocrisy all over the place. It's going to be there. Whatever you do spiritually and how that ties in with religion is your own business. Mm-hmm. And whatever brings you to a good place and you're a benevolent person and you want people to do well around you, high five. Go for it. I'm good. I understand the good parts of it and I take those with me and I try to use them in my real life. But all the story times, good.
I think just in general, everyone should just strive to be a better person.
Yeah.
Just live a good and better life, whether you go to church or not. And I feel like that's where I struggle a little bit with, oh, well, that person doesn't go to church. I'm not going to really...
The judgment.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, but I feel like I'm a judger all day. Every day I know that about myself. I'm going to judge you
People watching is one of my favorite things ever. And you can't not do that
right.
Without judging people at some level. So, yeah, no, I think you can be sitting next to someone in the same pew and know that they are judgy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Look at these two lovebirds.
No.
What's the story?
Oh, okay. Third date. Mm-hmm. First one was okay. Second one was bad. She's giving him one more chance to prove that he is not boring.
And he is not succeeding.
I feel like we have to talk about the whole kneeling situation.
Yes, we do. Let's talk about it. I'm ready.
Because we're talking about consistency. Tell me what your understanding is of the kneel itself. Do you understand what the initial meaning is?
I don't know how to, politically say that.
the summary of this of the
stance. I don't know
stance.
If we're trying to be politically correct.
Don't try to be politically correct. It is literally just bringing attention to the injustices through police brutality and the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it was intended for.
Right.
That was what it was very specifically articulated by Colin Kaepernick himself. He initially said, went out of his way to say, it's not about the military. It's not about the flag itself. It is an opportunity on the stage that we have, the eyes that we have on us, to make people aware by a simple silent protest of saying, I disagree with what it's representing.
Right.
It doesn't, when I look at the, when he looked at the flag, he didn't see what it's supposed to represent. So he had a problem with it. And in this country, the First Amendment states we have the freedom to say what we want.
Right.
From that standpoint.
You said that so much better than what I was going to say.
There should be zero problem with it, but it gets flipped over and used by the administration, by ignorant people, by people who are attached with the veteran. They look at a flag and all they see is a soldier. They've gone out of their way to be vocal about it in a very negative way, to where it's like where you're protesting an injustice, so I'm going to protest the protest. So if you're looking at it like the church does, mm-hmm. conservatively, when it comes to divorce, it's adultery. It's treason to discredit or to disgrace the flag. That's what people say. And they say, oh, he doesn't need to do it then. And that's the point that I agree with them on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with how. With the execution of it.
Right.
I most definitely agree with the purpose.
Right. I agree.
But people are going out of their way to relate it to veterans and say it's disrespectful to people who died in wars, and Trump reposted or retweeted something from Pat Tillman. And I see pictures of soldiers with their leg blown off and it's just their knee. And like, this is what kneeling really looks like. And you're like, are you
okay.
For real?
Right.
Like, there's no separation of that. But then you look at the flag itself, and all of the napkins and the plates. And
I was just
going
to say that how you posted.
Yeah, and how that's literal. There's a flag code.
Code, yeah.
You want to talk about the military? If you have if it bothers you from a military standpoint, but you own a T-shirt that has American flag on it.
Right.
If you post your profile pic changes to a flag. In any way,
mm-hmm.
that's disgraceful to the actual thing you're arguing about.
Right.
So it's incredible hypocrisy. And then for people and then people post and they say, if you think that Rosa Parks was protesting the transit system, you're thinking about it wrong.
Right.
There was injustice then too, that there was inequality.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. But people piggyback on the soldier train, and they get all this. I have plenty of friends. My brother was in the military. People are complaining more about the effect than they are about the actual cause.
Right.
And that drives me crazy.
I like what the NFL did as a franchise, how they all were united in either kneeling or locking arms.
Solidarity.
Yeah, and what I do appreciate, the Dallas Cowboys, how they were very classy about it.
Okay.
They all, you know, locked arms and they knelt right before the national anthem. Not during, but right before.
Okay.
You know, out of respect for both.
For both.
For both.
Okay.
And I feel that was very classy of them to do.
Okay, so we're talking about consistency.
Mm-hmm.
There is a break inconsistent. That's inconsistent for them to do it before. So there are people who support Kaepernick and the cause itself who will say that that is half-assed.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not, they can't accept that as okay. What do you say to those people?
But why can't they accept that? But I feel like.
Because it's inconsistent.
Okay.
It's not kneeling during the anthem. It's not. It's not following in line with the procedure.
Yeah, but there's people that were locked arms that stood up during the anthem.
And those aren't good enough
time.
Either. Some people think that's not good enough.
But then that's going back to.
And you know why? They think that because if the message gets muddled, so does the response to the cause. And I understand that.
I understand that too. But then I'm not. It, that's going back to if we, you and I have a disagreement, but you're going to half-ass something that I want you to do, even though you wholeheartedly don't believe in it.
Yeah.
That's fine. But if I was the NFL player and I think Dallas did it right.
Right. So with it being consistent, should more teams do it every game right before the anthem and then stand up in attention for the anthem? Would that be enough or would that become marginalized? Would that wash the message down? Because any kind of change usually is uncomfortable.
Right.
So the biggest thing with the people who are on the flag, they have a flag t-shirt with a beer can that has a flag on it, and they're complaining they're burning Kaepernick jerseys or whatever. There's that hypocrisy just with them themselves, but they don't want to see it at all. It's an inconvenience to them. That's the most that it is. They have to see it. Because you could totally not watch the game for 5 minutes.
Right.
Until all the ceremony, which is what it is.
Right.
Is done. Turn on the game and you shouldn't get riled up over something you didn't know happened.
Right.
But you know that it happened, and so people get fired up over it.
Yeah.
So it's like, will that be good enough if every team comes out?
I don't think there's ever going to be a good enough for anybody, to be honest. In my opinion, I think they did it right.
Yeah.
They're supporting Kaepernick and the solidarity, and then they're supporting, you know, I mean, the military, because they're the ones that are like, oh, they're so respectful. I went to a hockey's game, and I didn't stand up during the national anthem. Me and the people that went, we didn't stand up. And it wasn't that we were being disrespectful. We just didn't stand up. It was no big deal to me. You know what I mean? Whatever. I'm not as passionate about the national anthem or what the flag stands for as other people may be. But they were like, F you, I can't believe people fought in this war. Okay, great. Guess what? My grandpa's a World War II veteran.
Yeah.
He doesn't stand up during the national anthem. And he fought for America.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just like...
So the cause gets muddled in the interpretation.
Yeah.
So that's
and this
why,
was way before even Kaepernick happened. Oh, no, not
it's
at
not.
All.
The first time the anthem was ever done was back in 1918 at a game. And it was done to rile the crowd up.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. It became a money thing. It became a way to increase their profits.
Mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of... You can read all kinds of stuff online about how people were... In conversation, they were joking, they were blah, blah, blah. People would let their kids run around. They wouldn't grab them and say, hey, just stand still for, you know, 80 seconds or what, however long it is. It has a history of not being taken this seriously.
Right.
And it's also done from a monetary standpoint. Back in 2009, NFL signed a deal with the military to do it because they weren't required to before then.
I didn't know that.
It always turns into something to where people can make money off of it.
Right.
Like the America beer cans or the American t-shirts and all these other things.
So should that rile me up? You know what I mean? If I were to be so passionate about the flag and them, you know, going against all the flag codes, should I be riled up as a citizen that, you know, really respects what the flag stands for?
So the inconsistency that you'll see in these people is they won't get passionate about this, but they'll burn a fucking Kaepernick jersey.
Right.
That is why there's so much discourse in all of this.
Yeah.
It's because you have people that just they're in their bubbles. They're in their living room on their phone. They're comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
This is disturbing their convenience. So every kind of change, any kind of radical change that happens, a revolution happens, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, all these other things that are just giant turn-the-page events to where things are completely different, they all aren't comfortable. They all aren't convenient to your bubble. Everything gets shaken up and gets disturbed, and people don't like to be shaken up.
No, they don't. I'm not all about what the flag stands for, but I can see where Kaepernick comes from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's
again,
true. Like, it is very true. There are so many different comparisons out there online where, you know, you have a Caucasian guy shooting up, you know, schools, and then they go to his house and nicely walk him out of his house. Yeah. You know what I mean? Versus if it was a black person, they are more rough, for sure. You can totally see the difference there.
I mean, you see the laundry list of names
that
you can just rattle off.
Mm-hmm.
And with frequency, there is a consistency of black people, of minorities getting killed Death should not be an option in all of these situations.
Oh, man, I feel bad not knowing his name, but he got shot. I'm not even sure if he made it or not, but they mistaked his saxophone for a gun.
Oh, there's so many examples.
Oh, absolutely.
The chick, you heard about the chick in Minnesota. There was a white woman who called 911 because, and this is in Canada. Did I say Minnesota?
Yeah.
I think it's in Minnesota. It's north. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's Minnesota. She called the cops late at night, called 911, said that she heard what sounded like a woman being assaulted in her alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
She called them twice. Siren or cop car shows up. She goes outside to greet them. One of the cops shoots her and she dies.
Oh my goodness.
She's in her pajamas. And he got startled for whatever reason. Let's say she walked out and she hit a trash can and it made a bunch of noise.
Bam, gun off.
But you have so many other options. You're in the ineptitude that happens with these situations and where you have this mindset of people who are scared of just colored people in general.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. And it's a history. So when you look at our flag, that is for sure a part of our history. We can't wash that away.
No.
And yeah, you can say get over it. You can say all these other things. But again, until these inequalities start to balance out, that's always going to be central in people's minds, especially when you have all these stories. And now it's all on video everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. But yet and still, there's not a balance.
No, there's not.
So motherfucking kneel.
Right.
And if you don't like it, don't watch it.
I agree.
If you are that passionate about the reason, it's cause and effect. He doesn't have to kneel if that shit doesn't happen. So use that energy of you being upset. Use it to create a balance.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's a status quo. People don't like to be shaken out of that status quo, especially people with money.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. I don't have much money.
I mean, I have family that are outraged over the whole kneeling situation because they do bring you back to the whole military.
It always comes back to the military.
It does, and it has nothing to do with the military.
He literally said, I'm not trying to disrespect our veterans. That's not
good
enough.
But some people are just so,
The protest itself is never good enough.
No.
You can stand and put your fist up at the Olympics. Your life gets changed.
Yeah.
You can be Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who was an NBA player. He's a point guard. He's a Muslim. And he turned his back during when they did something that had to do with God.
Right. Because
it's all over everything in our country. You've probably never heard that name before.
Never.
He was a dope player. He still got skills. I saw a video of him on YouTube, like, doing a shooting. Like, he's a shooting coach or whatever. Filthy.
Really?
Like, he doesn't...
I want to look him up.
He doesn't count, like, shots that hit the rim.
Really?
It has to go through without hitting the rim. Like, he's that... Huh? And he can do it and just...
Really?
Dirty. This thing that he did was so disgraceful in the eyes of the people with money. Never heard of him again. And he came into the league as Chris. I can't think of his last name, but it was his American name.
Mm-hmm.
And so he changed it when he turned, like Muhammad Ali did.
Yeah.
Same situation. Never heard of him again. Never heard of him again. It's like you get, like Kaepernick, blacklisted.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. They can't tell you. They people won't help change. And whatever you do to cause that change, however you do it, isn't good enough.
I got filled with rage for anybody that disrespects what we are fighting for and what we stand for. It had a big impact on his next words, which were, I want to do something different. And we sort of came to a middle ground where he would take a knee alongside his teammates. Soldiers take a knee in front of a fallen brother's grave, you know, to show respect. He said, I think that would be really powerful. And, you know, he asked me to do it with him, and I said, look, I'll stand next to you. I got to stand, though. I got to stand with my hand on my heart. That's just what I do and where I'm from.
Isn't the act of kneeling like a God thing?
Yeah.
Isn't you kneeling like a way of giving up yourself to show that you're honoring somebody or something?
It's kind of to compare it to being vulnerable.
Yeah. So you're
being like naked.
And what's more vulnerable than bringing all of this kind of attention to you? He doesn't have a job right now.
No.
He probably won't have a job by the end of this year. He's donating $1 million to all of these other causes, all these other things. He's doing the Know Your Rights
camp. But that's still not good enough.
Oh, it's never good enough. And that's the point. The point is people put all their attention on the effect and how it makes them feel as opposed to the cause.
Right.
Getting it taken care of because people have to shake up their convenience. They don't want to do that. You got money, you definitely don't want to do that. You have family heritage, family money like that, like a Trump, to where you have this wealth that is threatened by being more inclusive.
Yeah.
So being divisive is
a good money move. And I feel like if you have a platform of any sort and you say something Trump don't like, he automatically wants to, what's the word I'm looking for? He wants to reprimand you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
he's a dictator for sure. He wants to be anyway.
Like Curry. He said he didn't know if he wanted to in the White House.
Or like Jemele Hill, when they threw her under the bus and the fucking press secretary said that it was a fireable offense.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to dictate private business from a political position.
Mm-hmm.
That is an impeachable offense. And Trump has done it on how many occasions now?
Too many.
Most specifically with Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And the son of a bitches in the NFL. He's going out of his way. If it's not concrete in writing,
yep.
Trump withers his way through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's done his entire life. And he's 70 now. He's not changing.
Nope.
He's not. He's got no reason. Why would he? He has all these people who support him.
Yeah.
Even though there's so much discourse and so many more protests and so much more resistance to him, he gets butthurt when people don't agree with him.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't have the humility to understand that he's in the wrong, so he doubles down and makes it worse.
You know what drives me nuts though is when he says, "You're fired."
I
he says
know,
that in his speech, and I'm just like, what?
I want to know.
And I get it's from The Apprentice, but it's like,
I feel like if he gets impeached, that they have to do something like that. Like cities, like legit cities have to have like giant banners hanging down from.
I'm getting, if
like
he
just,
gets
you're
impeached,
fired. Like,
if he gets impeached, I'm getting shirts.
Oh, my profile picture is going to be "You're fired for a while." Like, and again, it's not a party thing.
No.
It is a decency thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he is an indecent person.
He's super indecent.
And he's running the fucking country.
That's our president.
And we might get in a fucking nuclear war because he's having a pissing contest with North Korea.
I know.
That's the scariest thing of
that
all
is
of this.
That is so scary. Like, Joe says that to me all the time. Joe's like really like, you know, in tune with like current events and politics and all that stuff. And this stuff I don't really want to hear about because like, it's just horrible. Who
I
wants
think
to
Joe
hear
needs,
about that?
Joe, you might need to come on here, bro. Just saying. I had to have a conversation. Maybe I had to have. There's a seat right there. I got another mic. We have to do a.
Were you gonna say a three way?
Stop! Stop! I stopped myself. God damn it, friend.
Yikes! I don't think Joe's down with that.
We might have to have a group chat. Fuck off! You did that on purpose. I stopped myself. I caught it, and you wouldn't let it go.
Sure wouldn't,
Richard. Oh my lord.
Yeah, he's more, you know, like I said, he's more in tune with that. And he tells me all the time, I'm like, okay, shut up. I don't want to hear it. Like,
but see, that's
stop
the thing.
It.
And the more and more people do it, again, just like Cardi B, the quality gets marginalized.
Yeah.
Marginalized. So the amplitude is of everybody. The longer it goes on, the worse. So that's why people will ask you, what's the end game? Okay, he's kneeling now, but what now? We don't know because there's so much pushback to what seems like the right thing to do. So... And since there's never a right way.
No way, no.
That's where we're going to be. Forever.
Forever.
Tonight, a local volunteer fire chief is apologizing for something he said on Facebook.
Mike Tomlin is a black head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
The Pittsburgh Steelers decided before Sunday's game that they were going to stay in the locker room. That they weren't going to come out and be a part of the anthem. So that way nobody could say anything.
Right.
They can't say one way or the other. Because some people wanted to kneel. Some people wanted to stand. You know, they couldn't come to a consensus. So they were going to remove themselves from the situation. He explained that before the game. Mr. Paul Smith said, Tomlin just added himself to the list of no good Yes, I said it.
What?
He says this boldface and then gets fired for it. He comes back and says that he wants to apologize. And he says, the media dragged my fire company, M Township, into this as well as my family. So he's pointing fingers.
But he like, said it.
He said this. And my favorite part of this is, yes, I said it.
Well.
I am embarrassed at this. I want to apologize. I was frustrated and angry at the Steelers not standing for the anthem. Again, the
but
cause is lost. The
there,
cause
right?
is lost.
Right.
Racial injustice, police brutality. Nowhere mentioned in any of this. He was fired up simply because it didn't come out. My fire department has absolutely nothing to do with this. I'm deeply regretful at what I posted. What he posted was Tomlin. He called him out by fucking name.
Right.
He didn't say anything about apologizing to Tomlin. He didn't apologize to the Steelers. He didn't apologize to anybody he was aiming his discourse at.
Right.
But now he's apologetic. Now he's sorry. What kind of apology is that?
A half-assed one. And not an apology at all, because he didn't really apologize to
He's sorry
specific.
He got caught.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's sorry he got caught.
So he's First Amendment freedom of speech,
mm-hmm.
not freedom of consequence. You can run your fucking mouth off all you want, but you do it on the wrong circumstance, guess what? Especially when you do it on your own personal fucking Facebook account. It takes 5 minutes to make a random profile and troll people for
is
days.
Is this a white guy? Paul Smith, the name alone, huh? Is this like the major WCBS or what?
This is Liar Liar Pants on Fire. And I have it under WCBS because it pales in comparison. It pales in comparison to this gentleman. There's a American University is a real thing.
It's a real thing.
American University's campus. There was some asshole who went out and put this picture up.
Oh, jeez.
A Confederate flag with fucking cotton attached to it.
Wow, the disrespect.
There was supposed to be, this was at the, they posted these flyers the same night that the founder of an anti-racist research and policy center presented his plans for a new center. That's it. They're unveiling a new building, right. a new whatever. And this guy, let me see if I can find his picture. Here he is right here. This asshole dressed up like he's a construction worker, has camouflage pants on, and a heavy-duty something. He's carrying something. It probably looks like power tools. Yeah. But yeah, so it's a crime alert. So this has happened on a few different occasions.
By the same guy?
Yeah. On the back of it, it says, DC counter-resistance. They're protesting the protest. It's the same situation.
Wow.
Fucking WCBS, for sure.
For sure. WCBS.
So you got a guy who lost his job calling a black head coach a n***, or adding him to a n*** list. I want to know who else is on the list. What is this list composed of?
Apparently,
and what have these people done so bad to you that's hurt you in your heart that you have to make a n*** list? Are you kidding me? That's what I'm talking about. When you want to talk about, oh, what's the end result? That's floating around. And that's not rare.
No.
It's not.
It isn't rare.
And the people around him for sure know he likes, for sure knows that's his mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Even if he's a loner, they're neighbors. You know when they have like a serial killer situation? They go, yeah, he does this weird thing every time. Same kind of situation. I want there to be a list. Speaking of lists, since he's into lists, I want to start whatever you want to call it, list.
WCBS list?
I don't think that'll fly as far as an actual state or a federal thing. But I feel like there should be a list like there is a pedo list. All the pedophiles?
Oh, yeah.
They have to register. You can go online somewhere and find out where they are in your neighborhood. There should be a registry for fucking racists, for hate, people that spew hate in whatever form or fashion. I don't feel like they should get the convenience to just roam around and do some bullshit like this.
Right.
Because this is the same kind of mentality that drug Emmett Till behind a car.
Oh, yeah.
And fucking brutalized him all for catcalling a white woman who 50, 60 years later said it never happened.
Jesus.
Fabricated it. That's that same mindset.
Yeah.
It's not new.
It's not. It's been around.
I want to know what's on his list. I got to know. I'm going to reach out to him personally.
I was going to say you should.
He's not going to respond. He probably deleted everything. Like, he probably changed everything if he's smart. But
if he's smart.
I want to say, yo, Paul, I accept your apology. Just give me that list, pimp. I just want to know who's on the list. And I want to know what they did to deserve that spot. Because that's a lot of animosity.
I feel if you go head to head with somebody, you would win.
I don't want to do it just because I would win. Like, that's not...
No. I'm not... No, I know that's not what you're going for, but I'm just saying, like, with your intelligence... Why do you laugh?
Because I'm terrible with compliments. I told you that. I'm so bad with
them. I feel like with your intelligence and you do, like, you really do the research. Like, before you speak about anything, you really do the research. And I really feel like you could shut someone down. Like,
now, and shutting them down is not the goal.
No,
I don't want that to be the point.
Not like in a win or lose situation.
I get what you're saying.
I think, like, they can blab at the mouth.
You think I could turn people's heads, change their minds?
Yeah,
You should see the Facebook tips I get in.
I feel like with racists, I'm not sure there's going to be a whole lot of hope there.
But it's not even racist. It's racist adjacent. It's like people that are close by that have similar, or that they have, they're not fucking this guy posting pictures of the Confederate flag with cotton attached to it. But, like, they just don't support things that should be obvious, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So that's where I have a lot of that. I have a lot of that on Facebook. Man, you get a lot of that pushback from people. And it's people that I respect on some level. And I get it back and you're just like, it makes you take a step back and think.
Yeah.
But again, it's not, the goal isn't to top, it's not, I'm not trying to win. I don't want to best somebody.
Right.
I want to have a thorough discussion to where we can get context for all of our feelings, mm-hmm. for all of our mindset. So that way because there's so many places that we find common ground. It's just that there's so many other things that pull at you or that you experience that taint that in your eyes. So you can't do that. So it's like when people get, when you're growing up and you're at a bar somewhere and some black dude fucking cold cocks you, whatever. You're probably not going to have a great, you're probably not going to think very highly of black people in general.
Right.
If some black dude cold cocked you, right?
Right.
So if some gang shoots up your neighborhood or whatever, right?
I'm not going to have it.
Like, you're not going to, if people look a certain way, I understand there's a reason why stereotypes are out there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I dig for the context. I want to know why people feel the way they do. And not only do I not want to win, but if I articulate myself in a way too much, it's not good enough. And now I'm an asshole. Now I'm being condescending.
Right.
So it's like
me personally haven't had a whole lot of experience with racism towards myself, except for there's this one time.
Uh-oh.
I was on the sales call and I was at this girls in an office, and I was at an apartment complex you know, I was there, I was meeting with one of the managers, but this elderly man who is Caucasian, he's kind of like pacing back and forth. And I'm just like, whatever. It's just standing there waiting for the lady to meet with her. And he like comes up to me and says something along the lines of, it happened a while ago. He comes up to me and says, are you a colored girl? And I said,
oh my.
I said, colored? Like, what? And
again, he's thinking flashback to those pictures on the wall.
Yeah, and I'm like,
Fawcett.
What?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and those of you who know, I'm not super dark as for a Mexican. Like, I'm pretty
light skin.
I'm pretty light.
Yeah.
And so that's when I kind of like,
you're for sure not white though.
I'm definitely not brown either though. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
You're just
like,
different.
Yeah, I'm an olive kind of color.
That's all it takes.
And he was like, you're a color girl. I'm like, colored? Like, what? And myself, I'm thinking like, colored? What? Mm-hmm. I'm not like. Do I got a tan this week? I don't know. Like, but I looked and I'm like, colored? He's like, yeah. Like, are you, you're Mexican? I'm like, yes, I'm Hispanic. And he's like, oh, I don't feel like being, I'm not race, I'm only racist at night is what he told me. And I was so appalled. Like, I don't know. Do I go off on him or do I'm like, think of him as this old senile gentleman? Like, you know what I mean? Like, where is the line?
There is no line, because a morally sound person doesn't say I'm only racist at night.
Right. And I didn't, like, I had to honestly chuckle and laugh it off, because I'm in a business mode because I'm there for business.
Yep.
And I can't like go off on one of her residences and then I'm going to lose the account. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like I have to make that decision
and
to ignore him and let him go about his business. And that honestly was the first time I've really had any interaction with someone who was racist towards me.
And for what?
for being Mexican,
just
apparently.
Just because you look a certain way.
Yeah, and it's more shocking because 9 times out of 10, people don't think I'm Mexican.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, so like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm a coconut? Like, I get that.
And so that behavior.
Not even the way I speak, not even the way, you know, I carry myself. Like, I'm pretty whitewashed out here. Like, I'm just going to be totally, I'm Americanized.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm Mexican-American. That's what I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's funny because I have to take it back to Selena in the movie where, you know, they say, it's exhausting because you're not Mexican enough to be Mexican. You're not American enough to be Mexican. It's exhausting. But like, and it's true though. That's true to a certain extent. Yeah. Like, you know, I have cousins that are a whole lot more quote unquote Mexican right. than I am. And yeah. they're just like, you're so white. And I'm like, okay, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That doesn't bother me. Yeah. yeah. Take me or leave me. That's yeah. just the way it is. And that's how I see everybody else.
Yeah. So I guarantee you there are people, let's say that guy's name was Jim. I guarantee you there's people in Jim's circle that'll go, that's just Jim.
Yeah. That'll make it right,
that
though.
That is enabling
yes.
by definition.
I
because
agree.
They're just allowing it to happen. So you want resolution to all of the kneeling and everything. There's so much enabling that needs to be cut out. That kind of behavior or that cosign, that silent cosign to where they're not signing on the paper,
mm-hmm.
but they're for sure holding their shoulder at the bank saying, oh, good job.
Yeah.
We like you any other time. Apparently just not at night for Jim.
Right.
Because he's fucking racist at night.
At night. I was like, what? Here's the context I want, or content I want to get to. Why only at night?
Yeah. What happens at night? Are you a werewolf?
Right?
That's like werewolf shit.
It was weird.
Full moon. Yow! And he just walks around. What does he do? I want to know what he does. It's like the list.
No. And the lady I was there to see, she was so embarrassed. She was like, it was like as if she's one who said it to
me. So there's the second level. There's enabling towards like, oh, that's just Jim.
Yeah.
And then there's scared ass people like her that don't say anything because they don't want to shake that up. They don't want to disturb their convenience.
And it was, and I mean, she apologized, but I said, but why are you apologizing?
You have to apologize for him.
Yeah.
That's the sad part.
And she's like, I am so sorry. Yeah. She didn't know what to say. She was embarrassed. You can totally tell it was written all over her face. But I was like, why are you apologizing? You're not the one who said that to me. And she's like, you came here, you know, for a meeting and you had to experience that. Yeah. I'm like.
So if she's that passive, yeah. just in passing, imagine that car ride.
Ugh.
If they're in the car together.
Yeah.
Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
They're not saying shit.
They're saying nothing.
She's for sure not bringing it up. If anything, he might be mumbling under his breath.
You know,
she's lucky it wasn't 7 p.m. What? The fuck out of here, Jim.
Yeah, that was nuts.
So you know how they have that show, like, what would you do or whatever, and they purposely put that
That's
stuff
exactly
in.
What I was thinking yeah, about yeah. right now.
So they do that on purpose, and again, there are different kinds of people. There are passive people, like the woman who would remove themselves from the situation because they don't want to. And to me, that's a very selfish thing
uh-huh.
because it's like you see something that you think is wrong.
But
and instead of trying to help resolve it, you're so selfish that you remove yourself from the situation. It's like, oh, I don't see it. It's not happening. That's just Jim.
I really want to say, like, I would hope to be the person to jump in and, like, say something. But then I go back to thinking, like, this person could become violent and then I take the repercussions.
Oh, there's for sure.
You know
it's not
I mean?
Zero risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with someone
like,
who's that confident.
Do I say something or do right. I not say something or how do I approach that situation? And I would really, I would really like to believe that I would say something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
With a lot of those that I've seen on that show, I feel like I would approach those people the same way. Like, first of all, there's a lot of variables involved. Is
yeah.
it a female? Is it a child? Is it someone who looks capable of defending themselves
right.
physically?
Right.
Is the other person super imposing? Am I going to get my ass kicked if I say anything? Like,
right.
there's a lot of different levels to that. But in general, I'd probably just approach the person who's being hated on and say, hey, are you okay?
Right.
Get their consent first.
Right.
Because not everybody needs a hero, right?
That's true.
So I would approach it from that aspect to where if they gave me fucking scared eyes, I'm for sure going to say something. I'll be like, hey man, are you good? Like, is this
yeah.
necessary? Like, just try and bring them to some logical place
right.
with my voice. Like, and not be aggressive about it to where they feel like they have to, you know, protect their manhood or if it's a female, you know,
right.
whatever. So it's like I approach it from a passive standpoint to where there's a lot of anger and animosity involved. There's not a lot of thinking involved. So I'm going that route to try and bring it back down to where they can still be pissed, but I want to get them to walk out angry and to where the situation is over with. So yeah, there's a lot of trepidation and warranted because you don't want to fucking get shanked. You don't want to be train hopping victim because you tried to help Samaritan. There's for sure levels to it, but no, I would try it from that route because if you meet, I'm not a fire with fire kind of fighter. Like, it's not going to end well for somebody. So, and I'm not in a ring getting paid to go at you. So I'm going to try and do it from a different angle, but I'm most definitely trying to address it to where it's just like, to where you establish that there is no urgency for this at all.
Right.
Why go this route? How shitty is your day? Okay, you're upset at her for some bullshit. Let's talk about you.
Right.
I want to have a conversation with the person and be like, hey, let's fucking talk. I'm somebody who doesn't know you and doesn't care to and not trying to judge you. You want to get some shit off your chest? Let's talk. I would go that route too. I'll go sit and have a drink with somebody or whatever.
I wouldn't think to go that route.
But why not?
I don't know.
Because again, it's like the protest.
I wouldn't think
you're
to
protesting.
Go that route.
Listen.
I'm with you on going like the person
the person quote, being attacked. Right.
Being attacked. I would go that route.
Yeah.
But I would never think to go victim or to the person that's doing the attacking me. Like,
yeah.
What's good? You having a bad day?
Yeah,
like,
no.
I wouldn't think.
It's this. I put it in the same box. It's protesting the protest.
Right.
That's, to me, that's the same mentality. So I can't go that route because I don't go that route when I talk to people online. Like, there's no, to me, it's not constructive.
Mm-hmm.
All it is trying to win. There's no win here. Someone's being an asshole and the situation is unnecessary. So I'm going to talk to that person and whether or not it's fruitful or they want it, you brought me into this situation with your negativity. So I'm going to try and counter that with positivity and I'm going to talk to them just like I would someone I meet at hashtag. I don't know you. I'm not trying to judge you. Tell me your story. Tell me how your day is. Tell me why having these socks and these shoes benefits you. I've had plenty of them that say they get stolen all the time.
Yeah.
They steal them. It happens. They do. Just me having a conversation with them lets them know, on top of me showing up out of the blue to hand them food and water, that I don't know you. I'm not judging you. You're a person. Let's talk. The asshole who's being whatever to that person who looks like the victim, they're a person still.
Right.
And until you're able to approach them with the same kind of compassion, you're not really proving a point in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Other people might walk up to the dude, pop him in his face, drop him. You know, it's like the movie scene where a robber steals a lady's purse. They chase the robber down and beat him up or whatever. Like, it's never about, why are you stealing a purse, bro? What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have that in that split second. That scenario doesn't really happen.
Right.
But in this hypothetical situation, if I have the opportunity to have a conversation with them to where they can express why they're so angry. Because, again, it's about being consistent. So me putting shit up online and, you know, having opinions or whatever, I'm not trying to get a whole bunch of attention from that. I'm trying to set up a consistent base so that way if anyone ever wants to question, look at my fucking page.
Right.
And you'll see consistency in my delivery. And if you don't agree with it, that's fine. It's never malicious.
Right.
It's always about saying, let's figure out, let's get the context of the quick tweet, of the quick text, of all of the, you know, the surface level shit that drives people nuts, like the patriotism with Kaepernick or with the guy putting Tomlin on the list. Like, what happened to that guy to where he has a list?
A list.
That he said in an interview to the media that he blamed for dragging in his family and the fire department. Those were his words for the people that he pointed the finger at.
Right.
Inconsistency. Paul Smith. Don't need that guy in public service. For sure not saving people in houses.
Nope.
Guess what? It's in a black neighborhood. And he rolls up.
Yeah.
Again.
Right.
That's the context and where all this shit lies.
Yeah.
They have a sense of control and a sense of power. Position of power. So he feels that he can address Tomlin and put him on the list. He gets a call and has to go to a black family's home. Ooh, imagine if it was a fucking Steelers player and he's black.
Ooh.
Imagine if it's Tomlin's house, if he gets called into Tomlin's house. What you doing, pimp? You coming out? You grabbing some water hose? Or are you going to chill in your car and add him to your list?
Right.
Or are you going to scratch him off? Ugh, see?
Boo.
That's what I'm talking about. That's where all this lies. Devil's in the details. There's a lot of exposure now with social media. There needs to be a list. Maybe I'm going to start a petition. Send it to the White House. I guarantee that won't get through.
Hell no, it's not.
WCBS list.
WCBS.
Let's start a registry for all of these hateful people.
Hate.
Put them on a list. Put them on a billboard. Just like they do with all the criminals.
Or I was just going to say, just like they do with the deadbeat dads.
Yeah, deadbeat dads. Hey, are you better than a deadbeat dad if you're a hater?
Ooh.
If you have hate in your heart for no reason?
Yeah.
Or for a
no,
reason?
No, you're not better.
You're not better.
You're not better.
Put them up on a fucking billboard.
Agreed.
People that miss their child support, you call them out.
Yeah.
Paul Smith was a fire chief.
A fire chief that gets looked up to.
Yeah.
That these are little kids' heroes in what I want to be when I get older. Yeah. And that's what we have as an example. That's horrible.
So we have a fire chief who has a list, and then we have Cardi B playing in the background.
Yikes.
Kids are doomed.
Doomed.
So we're talking about consistency, and we've gone quite a while talking about people that have animosity and hate in their heart, and they go out of their way to show it. You understand what rivalries are. You don't like the Lakers and the Spurs for your loyalty toward the Suns.
Yeah.
The Cubs and the Cardinals. So you understand a rivalry.
Yes,
how it works. Mm-hmm. So baseball, do you understand what happens when the opposing team, let's say you're at a Diamondbacks game and they're playing the Dodgers. The Dodgers hit a home run. It's commonplace for a Diamondbacks fan to throw the ball back in the infield as a sign of loyalty toward your team. That's like commonplace, right?
Oh, yeah, because you don't want to keep the ball.
If it's a home run and it's a Diamondbacks player, everybody celebrates, you keep it.
Yeah.
If it's a Dodgers player, everybody starts saying, throw it back, throw it back.
Oh, okay.
So those rivalries exist.
Yeah.
There's a baseball player on the Cubs. His name is Addison Russell. He attempted to make a diving catch in the stands.
Russell trying to make a catch in the stands earlier. And an armful of nachos. The Cardinals took care of those fans.
So it was a Cardinals fan that had a thing of nachos that was sitting in the area that he crashed into. Knocked his nachos all over the place.
Right.
He's a Cardinals fan. He's a Cubs player. A rivalry, right?
Right.
Addison Russell as well. Because he's a good guy. Nicely done.
That's great. So this guy, he's well sad here tonight because the stadium folks brought him up.
So he had already...
Pictures together?
Yeah.
They're about to go take a selfie.
So... he walked over out of the dugout with the new thing of nachos and gave it to the opposing, and they're in St. Louis, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, like, there's a very clear-cut line of how to treat people that you don't need to be associated with. And he had already got reimbursed from the fucking stadium, so he was good. And then he went out of his way to return that. Like, that's... level of sportsmanship with a fucking fan, not even a teammate, right? So all this bullshit
of the opposing team.
He went over, shook his hand, probably made a new fan. That guy is going to be a Cardinals fan, but he'll probably be a Russell fan now.
Right.
That's a white guy. That's a black player. Does it matter if someone's kneeling?
No.
Just get the guy a new thing of nachos. Just
get him some nachos.
That's it. The world's a better place.
Yeah. Made that guy's whole day.
Life. If you're a fan and you have seats that close to the action,
hey, you know what?
You're
it might happen.
Happens.
If what if a Laker or a Spurs came or Spur player came and gave me something, I'd probably throw it back at him. But I don't know.
Oh no, you
just kidding. I think though.
So if you were the guy with the nachos and that was Kobe Bryant, ran into you.
Made my life.
Made your life. There you go. See?
That's what I'm saying,
though.
And you
hate Kobe.
And I hate Kobe.
You hate Kobe. If you knocked your nachos over at a Lakers game or at a Suns game,
and he came you personally reimbursed me. That is something I would probably put all my hate away for him and have to have respect for him, because he went out of his way to make sure I was good as a human being, not so much a fan, because obviously I'm going to be decked out in Suns gear, so he knows I'm not his fan. As a human being, he came to make sure I was good. My bad. I was all up in your face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That guy dived into the stinking crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would have made my night anyways. What? This hot guy dived and I felt his arm? Yes. I'm done. Like,
Don't make it weird, friend.
I didn't make it weird. I'm just saying, if an athlete...
We were not talking about attractiveness at all, and you had to throw all that in there.
I'm just saying, that alone, though, but because he took the extra mile.
Yeah, he just went... He just made a little effort. That's all it takes, is a little effort. Yeah.
I'll respect Kobe.
Yeah, okay. That's all it takes. So,
but Kobe, since you didn't do that to me... Sorry, bro. You're still on the other side of the line.
You're on the list.
Yeah, I don't have that list. Thank you.
It's just not even the same thing. It's still a list. It's still a list. So, ladies and gentlemen, in order to solve the world's problems, we need some nachos.
We need nachos. Don't worry why my wrist got so free. Sell a girl like Doritos. That's nacho cheese. Nacho cheese. Nacho cheese. Nacho cheese.